Blog Talk Radio.
Jumpstart an evening. Hi, my name is Bennett Pomerantz. Welcome to the world of Inks Any Which Way But Loose. This show is a great show. I not because I do it, but I enjoy it immensely. I got to tell you about an email I just got a few days ago, which I thought was amazing. This gentleman says to me, he says, Mr. Pomerantz, I've heard your show because my daughter had it around her iPod, and I heard one of your shows, and I'm very, very impressed. Do you have any openings? And this gentleman, who is a New York Times book reviewer, will be on the show, hopefully in February or March. So I'm very, very happy about that. I'm not going to give his name yet, but I'm like, okay, I can handle this. I, you know, because he heard his daughter's iPad. So that scares the heck out of me, you know. Yeah, you know, it's like fame is fleeting, but it's like, you heard your daughter's iPad, and I was on it, okay. Tonight I have four beautiful ladies and one joker, hi. And I will, and I say this lovingly, let me start with, if she's available. Catherine, are you on? Catherine, are you there? Catherine? Okay, she must not. Okay, let me start. Is Bonnie around?
I am. Bonnie's right here.
Oh, good. Well, why don't you introduce yourself, Bonnie Paulson?
Thank you, sir. You're such a sweetheart. I'm a writer from the Northwest. I live up in northern Idaho. Yay, potatoes. And I have been listening to your show for quite a while. I'm a huge fan. In fact, because you posted these other ladies on here, I've been kind of slightly stalking them a little bit. Nothing illegal, just...
Oh, my God, nothing illegal? Okay.
Now it's boring, right?
Let me introduce Marie Lavender. Marie, are you still around?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, why don't you tell them about you?
Okay, I am from the Midwest. I am an author. I mainly write romance.
And you're a darn good book blogger. I just read the last blog you had with another author. I was amazed with it. Thank you. That was beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. I'm not just a pretty face. I do read other people's works. I'm going to introduce this Renaissance lady next because I've known this woman for 15, 16 years. I've known her husband. I've known her. She's been an audio producer, an audio talent, a million other things and 16 other billion. The Renaissance lady I am talking about is Dana Dyer Pearson.
Hello. Good evening.
Have I got every... Go ahead.
Oh, I do so many things, it's absurd. So a very dear friend of mine in Colorado and I, many years ago, had a lovely ongoing debate about whether my eclectic professional experiences were the mark of a genius or an idiot. And the good part is that there were arguments to support both sides. So, yeah, I've done a little of everything, hence the name of my company is Renaissance Woman. So there you are, but...
Yes, I know, but you are, anyway. I mean, yes, and I've had that debate with a friend of mine over the years. Yes, am I a genius or am I an idiot? I'll take both titles.
It
so
depends
it works.
On the day, so.
Yeah, it depends on the day, depends on the week, depends on the year. The last lady right now, until Catherine joins us, if she joins us, and I hope she does, will be this lovely editor. I've known this woman for 25 years. Oh, my God. Okay. She's edited me, which scares me.
Oh, wow.
She is an editor, and she is my friend, and you believe me, she is one of the toughest editors I've ever faced. Would you like to introduce yourself further, Ren, about where you work and who you work with?
Well, I used to be an investment director up in 2009, but full-time, but, you know, now I just do consulting work. But I'm also an editor. I edit romance with and pop culture with Riverdale Avenue Books, and I edit science fiction and fantasy with Dark Quest Books. And I do some production work for Riverdale Avenue Books as well. So that's basically what I'm doing right now, and in between consulting gigs in the more or less partly IT side of banking. But, yeah, I've known you for 25 years. Yeah.
Oh, she can slap me around and still get away with it. I know. I would very rarely.
I am engaged to a published science fiction author who is sitting next to me, but he's doing other things. And
That science fiction author, I miss having him on shows. He's a great science fiction author. Would you tell him a little about him, because I want him to get the little mini plug?
Well, I'm engaged to Keith Ari DeCandido, who just had the first Sleepy Hollow tie-in fiction book that came out, licensed tie-in fiction, in the end of September. He also wrote The Klingon Art of War this year. He's written more than 50 books and lots and lots.
And he wrote a Leverage book, which I love, but I'm prejudiced. Okay. Brings me to the subject, ladies. Other than Keith's books, what are you reading now? What's on your coffee table? What's in your Kindle? Wherever you have it.
Well, I came across an author by accident recently. This is a book. I forget her name right now, but the book is called The Gods of Gotham, and it's a murder mystery set in 1845 in New York City, and it's extremely interesting. I have just finished it, and I found out she's written two others. So, unfortunately, I forget her name right now, but The Gods of Gotham is what it's called, and it's a murder mystery. I have to find her other stuff. But it's really interesting because it goes into the social aspects of the time, the potato famine, so all these Irish immigrants coming into New York City, and how the established Protestants are dealing with them and calling them vermin and everything else, and a lot of the brand new police force that just got set up. This is pre Teddy Roosevelt too, so very much is you get the police that you pay for, but the main character is a guy who became a policeman by accident. His brother is heavily involved with politics, who was very highly tied in with politics at the time, and he needed a job, and he finds out he's actually skilled at it and kind of likes it, and he has a conscience, and she's writing a series I think based on this guy. And his name is Timothy Wilde is the name of the character, the main character. I like
that. Well, we got to find it. We only have 90 minutes, so I want to make sure I get it ready. Marie, what are you reading lately?
Me?
You.
Me?
Yes, Marie. You do read still, I know.
Well, that's what I read that one, and I actually finally got a hold of reading the second in a series of YA books called, the first one was called Evil Genius, the second was called Genius Squad. It's by Catherine Jenks, and I'm reading that just as popcorn. It's kind of fun. I do a lot of traveling on the subway in New York City where I live, so it's good to have a book with me at all times.
Okay, Dana, what are you reading lately?
Most recent book I read was actually the sixth book in Joel's series. My husband, Joel Pearson, is a novelist as well, who has two trilogies out, the Messenger series, and just finished rereading the last of the six, which is actually the third of the prequel series. It's sort of like Star Wars without the, sucking and whatnot, but it's a great series, if I do say so myself, about a fellow who gets these messages, these mysterious messages, and he must act upon them, and it's gripping, and it moves brilliantly along. And actually, Joel and I are going to be writing a new series based off of this universe. We don't yet have a title for it, but it's going to be following the adventures of the protagonist's teenage daughter as she enters into this universe as well. So this is a great project we're starting to plot out right now, and we're trying to find a way to...
And when are we talking about be to released? There's three reasons I asked that. One reason is I'm interested. Two is I love both of you. And three is I'm planning other radio shows, so I want to make sure I get you and Joel on. I told you, the three good reasons.
Somewhere in the spring or early summer, I think we'll have this thing fleshed out and written and all that sort of thing. But
and
yeah,
I'm threatening
and,
you, you will do the show when we do, you know what? I don't know one of them.
Absolutely. So, and another book I've read quite recently. This is about the third or fourth time I've read it. It's one of my favorites by one of my favorite authors, a lovely fellow by the name of Jay Bonansinga, who I'm fortunate to call a very dear friend. I've known Jay for many years, as has Joel. We did radio theater with him back in the day in Chicago. This is Jay's first nonfiction book. He published about 8 or 10 years ago, called The Sinking of the Eastland, which was it's a sort of a novelized version based on reality of the second most deadly maritime accident in North American history, and no one has heard about it. The Eastland was a pleasure craft that sunk while moored to the dock in the Chicago River, and about 800 people died. And no one knows about this tragedy because the great wonder that is Chicago politics, it was buried between corrupt politicians and the insurance companies and whatnot. But it's a fascinating read. And Jay is also the co-author of the Walking Dead novels with Kirkland. So and Jay will be writing the next, I think, 3 or 4 books on his own, the Walking Dead books. So
remind me, I got to hook up with him because I got to make sure I want him as a guest. Not now, but I want him a guest soon when Walking Dead comes back.
You got to book. I mean, he's like the darling of the con series these days, and he's the nicest guy. He's twisted and demented, but the nicest guy. I love this.
Oh
man.
God, I'll get him and Keith in a show. I'll be really good. I'll throw Bonnie in on the third one, right, Bonnie?
Yes, I think that would be best.
You got them on.
So Bonnie, I know you write Gothic horror, and I love it. By the way, I haven't read the book yet, but what I've heard from other people, including a mutual friend of ours, I think it's the nicest thing to buttered bread. But that's okay. What are you reading, Bonnie?
You know, right now I'm reading, it's called Sociopath Next Door. It's by this psychologist, a couple years ago, but my grandma gave me the book because she knows I'm slightly twisted in the head, and she gave me this book to read, and it's amazing. It's just, I was picking it up thinking, oh, this is going to be a light read, but, I mean, the things that she gives you and the statistics and the background behind people without a conscience, it just really opens up my mind, you know, it's great. I mean, one of the statistics is 1 in 25 people are sociopaths, meaning they have no conscience. They don't work within the confines of a conscious boundary. And it's amazing, and I think I know some.
Yeah, well, I know two of them on Blog Talk Radio, so we won't talk about them. Jonelle had a question here for all the panel here, but she also asks me what's mine. Jonelle, yeah. I'm reading 3 different books. I'm reading, if you can call it reading, Batman's The Long Halloween, which is a graphic novel, which is 12 comic books put together in one nice book. The Alienist by Caleb Carr.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
that's
finishing up... Yeah, oh, I love it. And I'm finishing up the last couple of chapters of Don Quixote. It's my every other year bodily experience I have to do. I have to read. This is the second coming of Don Quixote, not the first one. If you read the abridgments, yeah, they only drop where he's put in bed. This is after that, the second version, but that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
Cervantes knew how to write a book. I mean, 1600,
yes.
He knew how to write a book, and it still stays with me. Now, she's asking the question that was on my list anyway. She asked, do you guys like your books in hardcover, paperback, or e-book, or other format?
Good question.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I take it? I had it
on my list, but she asked it, so I'll take her question.
I'll say something. Speak to a person. I am a huge fan of print, but I'm finding that I don't have the storage. I have 6 kids, and my books get chewed up by teething children, and so I've actually made the switch to ebook, and it's been a great tool to teach my kids as well, because I homeschool as well. And so, I'll hand them ebooks and stuff, and because it's something fun for them to play with, it brings out that whole, oh, there's words here too, now I'm going to read. And so the ebook has made this attention span thing, for me, it's made it a lot easier to incorporate interest in it. And I love it. Print, I mean, let's be honest, print, love of my life. But ebook, I've just made this nice, easy transition to ebook. So for me, it's ebook. How about anybody else?
Okay, I'll jump on this one too. I moved to New York City 5 years ago, and I committed a sacrilege when I moved up here. I got rid of half of my book collection.
Bite your tongue, woman.
Shocking.
A friend of mine who owns a youth bookstore became the person who was the benefit of my largesse. But I space, I went from a 3,000 square foot house to half an apartment in New York City. I still bought, 20 boxes of books up here with me, but I took 20 to a used bookstore.
Wow.
But at this point, it depends. Sometimes I buy it on ebook. Sometimes I buy it on paper. There's some things I can only get on paper, though, easily on paper. I find to do a lot more point of purchase, just, oh, my God, I have to have that in book form. And a lot more, I need to collect all of this author in ebook form now. Because it's easier. It's easier than trying to track down some older books of the series than it is to just, point and click on my Nook and just buy it. So
yep.
That's what's happening, is a lot of the series end up being bought on my ebook because I couldn't find all of them in the store. But a lot of the, browse, oh my God, neat book, is still on paper.
Yeah.
Who have I missed?
Marie.
Go ahead, Marie.
Okay. I actually prefer paperback or print. I mean, I love it. I have tons of bookshelves and everything. And I also agree that, yeah, there are some books you can't get in print. I will do ebook or something like that if I have to. But, I pretty much rely on paperback or something. I like paperback better, I think, than hardback, because it's a bit more compact and easy to carry. But
Well, yes, Janelle, I'll answer the two. I like my books. I'm sorry, I'm weird. I have a Kindle. I have some of the classics like The Wizard of Oz, Don Quixote, those on my Kindle. I do read Father Brown. I read them. I love them. They're great. I have the classics because, I even have, you're going to laugh at me, the John Norman Gore series, the whole series on the Kindle. Yes, I do. However, I like a book in my, the Long Dark Halloween, I like a book. I like it in my hands and feeling it and lovely. I'm a big fan of DVDs and Blu-rays rather than watching my movies online on a Kindle or whatever, or in the cloud or whatever. I really don't want somebody to know. If I'm watching Deep Throat, that's my business, not yours. I'm not watching Deep Throat, but you know what I'm getting at.
But what about Netflix? Right to my big screen TV and a big flat screen, I can get Netflix right to it.
Yeah, but Netflix has also got rid of Ghostbusters 1 and 2, Rocky 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
all of them are gone.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I know. I noticed it was hard to find Ghostbusters.
It's gone. It's off the list. It's scratched off the list. And even the first Wall Street with Michael Douglas is gone. So, that's why Netflix and I are at war with each other.
I'm living with someone who writes, who basically has made a living mostly of writing media tie-in work from like 25 different universes, from Star Trek to Buffy to, whatever, The Leverage to Sleepy Hollow. And so pop culture stuff and TV shows are a main staple of our diet. And so, yeah, we tend to like, you know, stream things a lot. When we can't get them on, we can't DVR them, we stream them.
I have MacGyver, all the Peter Graves Mission Impossibles, all seven seasons, and the two seasons they ran as an addendum in 1988. I have all the Walker Texas Ranger. You get the point. I'm staring right now at all my James Bonds, yes, and all my burn notices, and the first two seasons. It's only available on DVD of Paper Chase and the original theatrical movie. So, you know, I don't like anything. You could tell. I have the first two seasons of Glee, and I have the whole Rich Man, Poor Man, the whole North and South, you know, the whole Roots, you know. I when I want to watch a movie at 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't have to order it on Netflix and hopefully pray that it's there. It's there. I own it. I can put it in the DVD player and watch it.
Yeah,
I don't need to watch it on a small screen. I can watch it on a 30-inch TV set. That's all I want, you know. And I'm going to tell you this, ladies, the Batman series, I don't know if who's going to get it for me or what's going to get it for me, but that 1966 Batman, I don't care if it's Blu-ray or DVD or whatever, I'm getting it.
It's due out this week, right?
It's due out next week. And yes, this is the Adam West, Burt Ward Batman. It will be mine. I don't care. I don't know when I'm going to get it. I don't know who's going to get it for me. Everybody knows I want it. I don't want six copies. I just want one. I want holy moly Batman, yeah, that kind of thing. And I could care about the Green Hornet cameo in Batman is there in the whole series of Batman. However, I don't care about seeing the Green Hornet one season series if it goes on DVD or not. I don't care. But to me, give me Batman. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. To me, that had every Hollywood star known to my highlights, you know, playing a role of some sort.
That's awesome.
So is there any series, bringing up Batman and things, that's, you know, you could tell that's my series, one of the series I love dearly. What TV series do you ladies love dearly?
Still on the air or canceled?
It doesn't matter. You could say Firefly for all I care.
I was going to say Firefly, exactly. So.
I know you do well.
I kind of have to say that one because I'm engaged to the guy who wrote the novelization for Serenity. So, yeah, Firefly. But actually, Farscape was what I was going to say. But again, because he wrote 3 years of the comic for Farscape. I don't know. He's glaring at me now.
Yeah, Keith, you're growling at her. I can hear it.
There was also a great show in the 80s that only lasted, I think, one season called Maximum Bob that was based off of an Elmore Leonard piece.
Oh,
that was
God.
A scream. Oh. And I've been trying to find that, and I've had no luck doing so to find that on, you know, a digital copy. I think it just disappeared into the ethos, but it was a great show. I loved Maximum Bob. Funny.
I like the show Karen Sisko, which was also one of the Elmore Leonard books, too. You know, that thing died.
What do you think of Justified? What do you think of
Justified?
Justified,
I'm fascinated with.
Yeah, I've been addicted to that one. It's the interplay. The two main characters. Oh my God! Of course, you know, you get. I always forget names of actors, but the one playing. What's his name again? The bad guy.
Raylan or his friend?
Raylan's friend.
Walter Scoggins is the actor.
Walter Scoggins.
He's been in Django Unchained,
so
Machete Kills. Oh yeah, he hasn't done anything. He's also in the new Hateful Eight.
He played a transvestite in Sons of Anarchy too. And
yes.
It's like the man is a very, very good actor. You wouldn't think, I mean, he's not good looking at all, but oh my God, can he act? He's very believable. But yeah, I like him in Justified so much. He's a great foil for Timothy Oliphant.
Marie, I haven't heard. What's your series?
Well, I follow a lot of them, but I guess I like...
Well, name them. We're here.
I like
We got another 45 minutes, an hour.
Okay, well, I like Castle. I really identify with him because he's a writer, of course. And then I like Bones. That's a good series. And
okay, I have a question for you because I just got one for I got a question for you, Marie, because this just came over from Donatella, who listens to the show a lot. She asked me to ask you, what do you think about them getting married, good or bad?
Well,
they got married.
They're getting married this next week.
Actually, they are. They already got married, and they already got married, and they have a kid. But
No, that's Bones. I'm talking about Castle.
Oh, Castle. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. I like them together, actually. So.
I don't want another heart-to-heart series.
It built until you were like anticipating it so much. You know what I mean? So it was almost inevitable. You know.
But it's too much Thin Man to me. Thin Man or Moonlighting or it's too much. I mean, I hate to say it, it's going to tack on the relationship. I mean, Moonlighting, the greatest thing about Moonlighting was before they were married, there was that lovely sexual interplay. But as soon as they're married, it's like, show's over.
Well, I do kind of wonder what they'll do after that, you know?
There is one difference.
I guess I'm a Libra, so I can look at it both ways. But,
Moonlighting. There is a major difference between Moonlighting and Castle, though. And Moonlighting, they were at each other's throats for the most part before they married. So it changed the dynamic completely. They've been slowly pushing the dynamic towards the marriage with Castle and
Beckett.
I get to watch I get to watch the older series occasionally and occasionally catch them, and they've changed the dynamic quite a bit between the two characters. They're actually married already, and doesn't seem to be changing it. But Moonlighting had a different, had a major twist in its dynamic before and after.
Yeah, they're not at each other's throats, or they never really were. They were just more. There's definitely a tension and everything, but I think she's more amused by him, like because he can be kind of dumb sometimes.
You should be amused by your writer. You really should be amused by your writer. I say this personally. It's better to be amused by your writer.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
What do you guys think of the? I don't know who saw the Castle episode where they went to a science fiction convention. I was watching that, and I wanted to call Ren and say, Ren, look at this. They did
It was what, San Diego Comic Con before the con started. Yeah,
exactly.
There was a few people there.
And you could take Castle out and put Keith in, or put in about half of a dozen writers we all know, and just sort of put them in. And
I wish Keith had that apartment.
Yeah,
I know.
Keith
had that apartment in New York City.
I know, but and the Frank shirt says, "I love Castle." Right at the beginning, the director like a Hitchcock cameo. It was like so good, and it was Jonathan Frakes, so it was like, yeah. But you had Armin Shimerman in that one. You had all these the actor that did the Castle episode reminded me so much of Captain Jerk. I mean Kirk.
Oh, God, seriously, it's like, honestly, we do have in New York City, we do have a poker game that has happens, like, supposed to happen every month, but doesn't amongst the number of writers and editors or such, you know, but honestly, it's a $10 buy-in. It's not like we can see on Castle. Most of the Star Trek authors, David Alan Mack, Keith, Aaron Rosenberg, a bunch of the Star Trek authors, and they do it every other month or so, but it's $10 buy-in. It's not like, you know. It's not like what you see. James Patterson and Castle and the people there. Nah.
and the late Stephen J. Cannell. Be steady with Bush Hart. Okay, yeah. Give me the A team. I'm a happy camper, okay?
I want the apartment.
That's what Keith should write next. It's the A team.
You know, back to the marriage thing. Back to the marriage thing. You know, I don't know if anybody watches Grey or has ever watched Grey's Anatomy. But
yes, I
yeah.
have.
Okay. All right. So they did the marriage between Meredith and Derek, right? And I don't know if when you got up to that point, it was like, oh my gosh, this is the best. The tension's awesome. And then they got married. Now it's like, okay, I'm so over that couple. But Yang and Owen. Yang and Owen, when they got married, it was like that's when the fun started. The tension really started. Did anybody else feel that way, or am I the only one who's still watching it?
Yeah, it just really depends on you'll see how they handle it. I mean, it's in the writer's hands. It's in the writer's hands, and it's not a major shift like Moonlighting was, I think.
But it's like Cali in Arizona. It doesn't work for me. It's too much. It's too soapy, and I'd rather have a show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking about television for 1 minute, the one thing I loved about classic Star Trek and the classic stuff of the 60s and 70s was one episode, two episodes, and it was over. You know, if you had somebody guest starring next year, that's fine. But yet on the other hand, you don't have 12 episode story arcs. And I hate... I don't hate Grace Point. I don't hate Broadchurch. I don't hate half these shows that run a 12-episode story arc. But they're getting on my nerves because I'd rather watch it.
I think it's the multiple characters. What happened to, you know, with the classic Star Trek? They had your crew, and that's who you followed every time. It was not new people pulled on, and they may or they may not stay, but am I supposed to be attached to them? Am I not supposed to be attached to them? I mean, that's with writing, too. I mean, you see that a lot in books. It's just like, how attached am I supposed to be to these characters? Because I don't know if you're going to drop them or not. I don't know if they're going to die.
True. Mm-hmm.
I think. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. The 12
NCIS is NCIS, the classic. Most of them, you know, hey, they do kill a character after, if they're leaving the show or whatever, they kill a character off or whatever, but still it's an interesting, you have that 1960s, 70s blend where you don't have to watch 20 episodes to get it, thank God.
What do you think of the new one? What do you think of the new one, the NCIS NOLA, or as I've been calling it, NCIS Bonus Check?
The New Orleans NOLA, whatever, I mean, I've heard every initial... let's say it this way. I like Scott Bakula. He does a decent job. I'm sorry, they should bring back Quantum Leap, but I'm prejudiced.
We keep on seeing everyone from the flagship. It's a bonus check, you know? It's the extra check this week because you're going to be, you know, have a cameo on NOLA.
Okay. Mark Harmon produces NOLA, so it's easy to get. It's easy for them to cross over, whereas Los Angeles, Mark Harmon is not involved as executive producer. So Mark Harmon can say, hey, why don't you go over there? And they're doing that. Yes, they want to make sure this year they're going to throw every cameo from everybody that you love or have loved on Classic in there. And then, of course, next year they'll do it. They'll leave everybody alone. They won't do anything.
Teddy from L.A. showed up on Scorpion.
Yeah, well, that was cute, but I don't think you're going to get, you know, I'd like to see more crossovers. They're doing a Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, SVU crossover. I'm mixed on doing crossovers. I'd love to see some of the other shows doing crossovers. I'd love to have an inter-network one of, like, Sleepy Hollow and Castle or something.
It was the April Fool's super sleepy joke that Orlando Jones and Misha Collins tried to perpetrate. Yeah, they had this whole thing they put up on April Fool's last year about a crossover between Supernatural and Sleepy Hollow.
I think that would be I think that would be a great idea. Or a dream sequence with The Walking Dead and, say, Sleeping Hollow or something. I don't know. I just they would have to do a dream sequence with that, you know. Or I would love to, you know, they could do a lot. I hate to say it, I love CSI. I with the original Las Vegas one, I would love to see I would love to see CSI and NCIS or something like that. It would be great. But
I know they did crossovers
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I know they did crossovers with, like, Warehouse 13 and Eureka, which was a little bit strange,
mm-hmm.
but, yes, it was okay, you know.
But, you know, that was also same network, and that's why I think they got
yeah.
Heady to cameo on NCIS Los Angeles and things like that.
Yeah.
And then, and the ones going to NOLA, of course, were originally, you know, since Mark Harmon produces, or one of the producers of Classic, yeah, it's easy to just say, hey, would you come over? Sure, you know, it's an extra paycheck.
Right.
Like how many of them are actually made in Vancouver? And it's, you know, like, well, so Eureka and Warehouse 13, they're filmed in Vancouver, you all. You know. Well, Supernatural is filmed in Vancouver, too. But, I don't know. So was Stargate, for that matter.
A lot of them that are filmed there, yeah.
Yeah. So was Stargate, for that matter, yeah. Anyway,
well, let me ask you. You guys know there's a lovely movie called Ouija, the movie Ouija board. Yes, oh God.
Yes. Yeah.
And
oh,
it made $12 million already. $14 million. Excuse me, I'm reading it wrong. You know, the last couple of weeks. Okay. They're talking about making Candyland the movie. Now, Clue has been made.
Oh,
Battleship has been made. What other games would you think they should make movies of?
Please,
we have
not another D&D movie. No, please, not another D&D movie. What other game?
Yeah. Battleship's already been a movie. They already did Clue the movie. They had a great cast in that. That was years ago, but still, they could remake it. Ha, ha, ha.
You've seen them back in the 80s.
I don't know.
In the 80s, they're remaking now.
Games count.
Yeah, but wouldn't we like Monopoly the movie? The story of Mr. Moneybags?
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, McDonald's would have a great movie tie-in.
I know, right?
Happy meals for everyone.
I'm going to be sleeping.
Games, yeah. Well, they were originally talking about a Stretch Armstrong the movie. A little much for me.
I do not want to see a Cards Against Humanity movie.
I'm sorry?
I do not want to see a Cards Against Humanity movie. How's that?
Okay.
I don't want to see it. I played it too often. But you know about that game, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it gets very evil and very twisted very quickly.
Huh.
Now they are playing a Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Is there any? Yes, it is on the slate and it will be released 2017. Anybody have any? You know, the Barbie, Miss Potato Head, Slinky Dog are all in there. Is there any other things that we're missing? You know, maybe was it Polly Pocket or? Or Strawberry Shortcake. Or is anybody else you
want
to add to the next Toy Story?
I want
Toy
Jam.
Turtle?
I don't know,
Jam.
Rainbow Bright or
Jam.
Something?
Jam.
Jam.
Yeah.
Jam.
No, they can't do
Jam.
That. Jam and the Holograms will be its own
that
movie.
That actually would be cool.
No, I want them to be in the Toy Story because she's hotter than Barbie.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I mean, her earrings glowed. Come on.
Yeah, but they're doing a live action Gem movie, which is scaring me.
Really? That is
yes.
Scary. I don't know. You know, when I was little and I watched those cartoons, I wasn't into the cartoons. I was into the doll that sang, but I wasn't into the cartoons.
But as I said, there will be a live action Gem movie. They are talking right now of making another live action Archie movie. Yes, Archie,
oh, wow.
Veronica, Jughead, yeah.
Wow, yeah. And Betty.
Yeah, if Blake Lively can lose her pregnancy, I'd love her to play Betty and Scarlett Johansson playing Veronica.
Great.
That would be great. I don't know who they'll get. Maybe Jesse Eisenberg, if he can tie his hair into Archie. Yeah, that'd be good. Either that or him playing Reggie. I don't know which. Now, let me ask you, there are enough superhero movies coming out in the next 5 years. Marvel has just gotten a new slate and everything else of movies they're playing. Black Panther, Avengers, a two-parter. DC has a slate of Justice League, Aquaman, possibly another Batman series.
I'm looking forward to seeing Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I think he can pull it off. Jason Momoa. In fact, I want to see Jason Momoa without a shirt on, so that's basically probably why.
But I liked him in Conan. I was one of the few.
I didn't like the writing in Conan. Now, the writing in Conan was cheesy, but, you know, I like looking at him, you know?
But I like his wife as Vixen. His wife as Vixen. Lisa Bonet as Vixen would be lovely. I would love that. Oh, God. She would be wonderful.
Yeah,
anybody else have any, you know, but if you saw, did anybody see Guardians of the Galaxy? I don't want to spoil it because
I've seen
it.
Oh, yes, I saw it.
Huge fan of Michael Rooker. I've heard they have number 2 coming out.
Yeah, there is a number 2 coming out as part of the Marvel Phase 3. But the thing is, at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, if you look carefully, there is a Marvel character that has gotten a movie already that they're talking about making it in Marvel Phase 4 called Howard the Duck.
Oh my God.
Wow.
No.
Speaking of something, I'm going to be seeing Big Hero 6 tomorrow. So, I didn't get to see it yesterday when it opened, but I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Well,
I will see the big blow-up doll, yeah. But,
and Benedict Cumberbatch will be Doctor Strange, so it's like, yeah.
I saw that. That's awesome.
Joel and I just
saw his Frankenstein, the National Theater's production of Frankenstein. He was the creature,
ooh,
and Johnny Lee Miller was the scientist. It was breathtaking. It was astonishing. So if you
is it on audio or on DVD?
It was actually a video they had produced from the stage production in New York that was shown via movie theaters. If you go to ntlive.com, you can see the schedule. And it was quite extraordinary. It isn't just a fixed camera on the stage, they're editing it and whatnot. But I mean, we saw Of Mice and Men last week through this same series, and we're going to be going to see the premiere of the new Jon Stewart movie. His name eludes me at the moment. We're going to be seeing that next week, which will be followed up by a talk back with the cast. I mean, we'll just be watching that. We won't be participating, but it's a fascinating new way to interact with theater when you can't get to New York as much as you might like to see it, to have this chance.
Or if you can't afford to make the cost of the actual shows. The shows are, I live in New York City, and there are times I can't afford to go to see that show, but I can afford to see it in the theater at a theater price at a movie theater price as opposed to a stage theater price.
The tickets for the Johnny Lee Miller, the Frankenstein we saw last week were $12, so that's quite good. So.
Yeah. And when I was on stage in New York, I couldn't. When I was on stage in New York, I couldn't afford it because it was coming up on like $70-$80 per person. I see some shows, but I can't see all of the ones I want to see because I can't afford it.
Yeah.
I would like to see Les Mis.
Ooh.
Les Mis the play or Les Mis the movie?
The play.
The next thing I'm going to be seeing.
I've seen where they filmed it. You know what I mean? Like they filmed the play, but I want to see it live.
Oh, it's beautiful live. I saw it at the Mechanic Theater in Baltimore. It was beautiful. Oh my God, it was.
The next New York play I'm going to be seeing is On the Town in December.
Well, hopefully in February when I'm in New York for a certain holiday for me, I will see It's Only a Play with the cast to die for: F. Murray Abraham, Matthew Broderick, Rupert Gint. You know, no cast, nobodies. Nathan Lane. You know, no nobodies. It's a small production, right? Okay, yeah. I'm just gonna see it. And as long as all of them are there still, and they're supposed to be there until March or April. So yeah, I want to get that for that February trip. So I think it'll be worth it.
You got to meet up with me for lunch then, okay?
Yes, I know. I owe you lunch. Yeah, and since this is archived, people will know it too. And so they'll all follow us and go, oh, my God, you're her. You're her. Oh, my God, he's having lunch with you. Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. because well, let's say it this way. I've already been per se stalked. I went to Target once. A couple of the listeners, yes, I'm telling the Target story. Yes, thank you, Dale, for telling me. Yes, I was in Target and buying a microwave, and I'm in a T-shirt and jeans and going in there, and this woman says, "I know you." I said, "Okay, you're the guy from the radio." Okay, what are you doing here? And there's a microwave in my cart. Can you not see, lady? You know, I says, "Well, don't you have a staff that does it?" I looked at her and says, "I gave them the day off."
Nice. That was nice.
I want to live.
Nice,
I gave
you.
Them the day off. I was being nice, you know. Because they all say to me, "Oh my God, yeah, you're him, yeah, okay." Either that, it's or you know, it's like you go, "Oh, you're the professor, yeah, I'm the guy that teaches this class." Aren't you the same guy that does the radio, or aren't you the same guy that does Night Owl? Or yeah, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm him, yeah, I'm him." "Oh my God, you're famous, yeah." But then I remember this young man. I went to a career day when I was in an elementary school, and the teacher introduced me. "Mr. Pomerantz is a famous writer," and started giving the liturgy of my life. And this kid said, "Are you rich?" And I looked at him and I said to him, "Yes, I'm rich. I'm rich with talent. I'm rich with friends. I'm rich with a good sense of ability writing. I'm rich with style. I'm rich with class." He says, "Well, is that go into money?" I said, "No, money does not make you rich. Money just gives you nice things." The kid was like, "Huh? What? Who?" So, we all know that you all ladies are rich, but let me talk. I don't usually like talking politics, and I want to change the subject for a reason, okay? I'm not trying to talk politics for the sake of talking politics, but Republicans have just been elected into the Congress, the House, and all the rest of that. There's been almost a Republican overthrow in our government right now. And Republicans are not known to support the arts and arts programs and projects like that. So I wanted to know your thinking. I wanted to start with Dana.
I'm moving to New Zealand. No, Iceland. That's all there is to it. So I think that's the sanest way to do this. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, I have friends who are passionate about politics. I have relatives who are very high connected to the Republican Party. And really, for all the passion that's thrown out there in the last week over the midterms and the shift of balance of power, ultimately, at the end of the day, I still think this weird Republican jihad against making sure nothing happens will continue, and nothing is going to dramatically change in the coming 2 years. You know, unfortunately, the biggest threat to our society right now is our government, and we have effectively voted in people who are professional obstructionists.
Idiots.
At this point.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what's best for the country. It's all about destroying your enemy, and that enemy happens to be on the other side of the aisle. And I personally hold both sides of the aisle accountable for the stalemate we have in American politics at the moment. And I would honestly vote for Jack the Ripper if his campaign thing was, "I will actually talk to other human beings with respect, and I will listen to their ideas, and I will do all I can to get some cooperation and respect back into our government." You have my vote. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, we all get wrapped into the rhetoric of Republican versus Democrat, and I think that's the problem right there. We should have constructive differences, not this weird civil war within our own government. It's profoundly disturbing, and I'm braced for what 2016 might bring. So,
I completely agree with you. I think you're on spot on, and I think we have more important issues. I mean, the arts is one. I mean, that's just a small. You know, that's what we do. That's entertainment. People are always going to be entertained.
Yeah.
But what the government needs to do is they need to bond together, and they need to take care of our children who are not being taken care of. They need to be taken care of. You know, our senior citizens who are not, and our vets who are not being taken care of. I don't care if you're Republican or
exactly.
We have more empty houses in this country than we have homeless people, we have a problem.
Yeah.
That's
sick to me. And that's, you know, when we're more concerned with, hey, you know, the banks right now, they don't invest in metals. They invest their money in the groceries. So the grocery prices go up because that helps the banks. So why isn't the government stepping in and saying, no, we have people who need food, not banks that need food. So, so I completely agree with you. I think that the Republicans and Democrats need to drop their name tag, and they need to sit together like they used to make us do when we were little in kindergarten and get along. And make
exactly.
what they need. They need a mom in there to tell them, straighten your act up, get all of this together, work together, and make this house or this family, which is what this country is a big, huge, freaking family, and make it work. Quit letting each other pick on each other and quit dividing us. Just get us together, make it work so everyone can be happy. And then that's when we can all thrive in the arts and we can all thrive in learning and we can become this great America that we used to be.
That
we should be. Yes, I agree with you. That's me.
Okay.
Since you asked,
Anyone else?
I couldn't have said it better than the other two have said it. You know, I've got my own opinions. I live in New York City, and I moved to New York City 5 years ago, and I'm kind of happy I did because I have access to a lot more infrastructure, things that I've needed up here that I wouldn't have had when I was down outside of Philadelphia. It's much more liberal than where I used to live, and I kind of like it that way. But, you know, the only way the government works is if it cooperates with each other.
Yeah.
If they don't cooperate with each other, nothing is going to happen. And unfortunately, that's what I see the next 2 years are going to be, is total non-cooperation. You know?
Because to cooperate is a sign of weakness in American politics right now, and you must ram your opinions and your platforms through at all costs. Screw the people, it's affecting, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, it's ugly
terrible?
Right now.
Terrible. What a message to send our kids.
I love this.
I love the two more. Like, Bennett, you're great. You're not talking and letting them talk. So it's like, okay. But I do have to take a station break, ladies. So we'll get, you guys got about 45 seconds, a minute to enjoy. We'll be a little more than that. So I can promote my network and, of course, the World of Ink Network. We are on the World of Ink Network. This is Any Which Way But Loose. On Monday, the November 10th, Attorney Sarah Steele and I will be talking about CBS paid interns, and that will be on The Legal Show. On Wednesday, we will be talking to book blogger and book promoter Kate Tilton on Let's Talk with Huffington Post columnist Rachel Thompson and myself. And on the 14th, which is World Diabetes Day. Yes, take a diabetic to lunch. Cynthia St. Alban will be my guest, and she writes a paranormal romance that is, I love it. On the 17th of November, Attorney Sarah Steele and I will be talking about the Redskins and that name change and that new suit that Dan Snyder has, of course, done. On the 19th, Attorney Sarah Steele, Rachel Thompson, and I will be discussing, we're giving our Thanksgiving, our Let's Be Thanks show. Anybody can come on and join and say what they're thankful for. Keep it clean because I got my finger on the buzzer. On the 21st, Jody Olson will be coming on Anything Goes at 11 p.m. on the 21st of November. And on the 22nd, on the World of Ink Network, in this same time slot, but we're going a half an hour more, from 9 to 11, 35 authors will be talking about their holiday bargains, their holiday books, and discussing it and having a great time. On the Cyber Monday show, we'll be talking about all the things you can pick up Cyber Monday. And just in case you wanted to know, somebody said, well, why don't I do it on the 24th or on the 26th or whatever? I said, who wants to work on Thanksgiving? I don't. However, on the 28th, it'll be a Black Friday day, and Elizabeth Black is coming off of her Thanksgiving meal to come do the show at 11 o'clock on Anything Goes on the 28th of November. So it will be nice. It will be very nice. Yes, I will make this announcement as well. February 12th, mark your calendars now, there will be a surprise on the Bennett Pomerantz Network, so you guys will really have a good time. A new show is coming up. I can't tell a lot about it, but it'll be a nice change of pace. It'll be different. Be similar to tonight's show, except it won't be 90 minutes. Is that, if that's a big enough hint, I hope. Yeah, okay, give me 1 second. Yes, Dale, that's a hint. You could take it whatever you want. Okay, I'm back. Okay, ladies. So let me ask a silly, silly question. It's one of the ones I always ask. It's my silly question of the day. What five people, alive or dead, would you like to have breakfast, lunch, dinner, doesn't matter, break a meal with? And if you say Jerry Lewis and you like the 1970s Jerry Lewis, say it. If you want George Carlin in the 70s, fine. Say George Carlin in the 70s.
Jimmy
what
Fallon.
Five people? I'm sorry?
Jimmy Fallon.
Well, you get five of them. You get five. You get five of them, Dawn. Go ahead. Okay. Let me ask Ren. Why don't you start it off?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, let's
no,
see.
Bennett,
first...
but you're close. You may call me God. I'll take his pay raise.
Well, I'd like to have. Oh, okay. Yeah. I would like to see. Geez, I really can't. Let me see. Well, I like to have Virginia Highline.
If it's over five, you can get away with it, okay?
Virginia Highline, okay. I met her once and never really got to talk to her. Virginia Highline. I'd like to have Ricky Gervais. Who else? Let me see for a minute. Arthur Conan Doyle. And H.P. Lovecraft. That's four.
Uh-huh.
At the table for dinner. I know,
you didn't want Anne McCaffrey?
But,
she was lovely.
No, okay, Robert Anton Wilson. But, Robert Anton Wilson, but, you know, I may have to take his vodka away from him.
Okay, yeah, please take his vodka. I've known you long enough. Yes, I will take the vodka and walk away with it and switch it with water.
A friend of mine hosted him back in the early 90s at his bookstore for a reading, and he was drinking vodka out of a paper cup. He got more interesting as the evening went on, but he was drinking vodka out of a paper cup. So, yeah, that would be an interesting table. Yeah, I like that table, but, you know, I'm a weird person.
Okay, Dana, who would you like?
Oh, my. I think I'd...
You know, I'm available if you guys want me to join you in at any meal.
Well, we haven't had you on the list, clearly. I think I'd want, just from a Mesoamerican ethnologist standpoint, I'd love the opportunity to get Hernan Cortez on the other side of the table so I could smack him into better behavior.
Okay.
I would love to meet Benedict Cumberbatch, because Benedict Cumberbatch. I would love very dearly to be friends with Patrick Stewart and Sir Ian McKellen, because, really.
Together or separately?
I don't care. It's all good either way.
I think they should count as one.
Well, that's true. They are such a cute little couple that, you know, they should be awesome together. I'm going to go out on a limb, move it into the fictional universe, and I'd love to hang out with the Doctor. That's all there is to it. There.
Wait a second.
Which one?
Which Doctor?
Which one?
The Doctor. That gentleman from the British television show. That
I know that, but there are only 12 versions of it.
Any of them, really. I mean, I love Matt
version.
Smith. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Capaldi. I want to smack Moffat around a bit for wasting his talent completely this first season, but and I think it'd be, we'll throw up Capaldi in there, too. Why not? I'm a very contemporary sort of girl, except for that whole thing about teaching the person who destroyed the Mesoamerican Aztec universe, you know, a little bit about personal hygiene and ethics. But other than that, yeah, so.
Okay.
Those are mine, an esoteric and strange mix.
Okay, who else
and
would like
Anthony Bourdain,
to...
I met him once, and he's delightful. I'd like to hang out with him more, so.
Bonnie, who else would like to join the fray?
I will.
Bonnie can say. Oh, okay, Mary will.
Okay, sorry.
No, go ahead. You're all right. How do you
go? Okay. I think my first one would be Kurt Vonnegut.
Okay.
I think he'd be very interesting to talk to.
He was a great guy when I knew him.
Okay. And Natalie Goldberg, I've read a lot of her nonfiction, and her writing always fascinated me. Max Ehrman. I would want to know what inspired him to write Desiderata. J.R. Ward, one of my favorite authors. I would ask her what inspired her to write the Black Dagger Brotherhood series. Jane Austen, of course, because I have a thing with the Regency area. But I think it would be an interesting dinner party.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Who else have I missed?
Bonnie will go. I'm ready.
Okay,
go for it.
Bennett,
you would have to be there to moderate. Because
I would have to be there to moderate. I'm in trouble now.
Yes. We would do Jimmy Fallon, Jennifer Lawrence, Morgan Freeman, because I love all of their voices and they're hilarious. And then, of course, my absolute favorite is Jack Nicholson. And I'm going for the actors because when you're writing books and stuff, you kind of create your own characters. But when you're watching these movies and stuff, I want to know what makes them tick as people, that they can actually do these twisted characters. So for me, that's who I would have. So Bennett, you would absolutely have to moderate us because I could imagine going around with these funny people.
Okay, and there's a man named Jimmy that would like me to ask it, say mine. And he says, different than your usual ones. Okay, let me start. Different than my usual ones. Okay, Tom Baker. That's the fourth doctor of Doctor Who. Not the other doctors, Tom Baker. And I don't mean playing the doctor, I mean the actor. Because he did Sinbad, he did other things. Guy Williams, of course, from Zorro, from Captain Sinbad. Bonanza from Lost in Space. Okay. George Carlin, the hippy dippy weather man with the, oh yeah. Give me Carlin, I'll be happy. I know it's a repeat, but I love Carlin, okay? The late Robin Williams. I would like to have him and Carlin at the same table. I would just Groucho Marx. I don't care if it's a young Groucho that came off the Marx Brothers or an older Groucho with You Bet Your Life or even the senior statesman Groucho. My father I would love there because he would look and go, oh, yeah, okay. But, just those five. Yeah, I would love Groucho, Robin, and George all on the same table. Yeah, yeah. So I would be laughing too much. We would be.
I forgot one. The last one I wanted on my table was Stephen Fry. Partly because I would love to see a matchup with Ricky Gervais and Stephen Fry versus Arthur Conan Doyle and H.P. Lovecraft. Just for the hell of it.
Oh, I agree.
Would
I would love Fry. I would love Fry on the table.
Fry and Gervais versus Lovecraft and Doyle. That was what I would be just... Yeah, put the believers on one side, the non-believers on the other, and watch the sparks fly.
I would love Fry to talk about J.K. Rowling because he did the British version of Harry Potter on audio. So I would love to hear his opinion of that. How was it to read about Hermione and the rest of the group? I was like, oh yeah, yeah. Harry Potter, you know. To me, it's like somebody, Dave came up with this question here. He says, he asked the panelists, what do you think about opinion writers, editorial columnists, and the talking heads considered as journalists or outside the umbrella of journalism? Okay, Dave, I'll ask the question. If I get killed, it's all your fault. Somebody jump in so I don't seem like a fool.
Well, I'm not certain about that question. I'm an editor for prose, so I don't deal with the opinion columnists and editing, that kind of a thing. So it's not something I deal with on my own.
Well, I would think isn't official journalism supposed to be objective or something? So I guess I would say, it's kind of unrelated to journalism.
Well, I write a piece of my mind. I'm biased, but yet I have my own biases because I've only been writing for 33 years, and a piece of my mind is my opinion on writing, and what my opinion is my opinion. Does that make me a journalist? Some people say so. Some people don't. I'm also a critic. I have newspaper columns where I review books. I review audio. I have an op-ed column called A Piece of My Mind where I basically do – opinion editorial, what I think. Am I a journalist? Yes. Am I an investigative journalist? I try to be, but am I one of these that have to investigate an issue? CNN does it better than I ever will. Does that mean I'm wrong? No, I'm allowed my opinion. Am I showing my bias? Yes, but I think of myself still as a journalist. Not a yellow journalist, but a journalist just the same.
Well, hey, that's a good answer.
I'm sorry?
That's a good answer. I was just saying, I think it's a great answer. I think that's, I mean, journalism is, it's, it has to be objective to a point, but at what point do we stop valuing other people's opinions? I think journalism needs to be, it needs to have opinion, or it's, you know, why do it? We could have anybody write a textbook answer. I want to know what people think. You know, what's your perspective on that? And if you're, let's say, as you as a critic, if you don't like something, well, I want to know why, because we might have the exact same taste. If you're in the middle of war and you're observing something, well, I want to know what your observations are, not what you think everybody wants to hear in an objective standpoint. You know, I want to hear it. So hopefully it's not.
The problem with being a critic, there's always a target on your back. I don't think any of you ladies
so
here have put a target
too.
On my. I'm sorry?
I said it's the same thing as being an author, too. I mean, we have targets on our backs.
No, I have a I have a big, big target with a knife, you know, and people like to throw arrows, tomahawks, knives at the center, because it's like, if an author goes to you and says, you destroyed my novel, it's all your fault, you don't need to deserve to live. Yep. Throw that knife right at me. Yeah, okay. You get a publisher going, what do you know about this? You know, hey, I gave my opinion. That doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's my opinion. However, do they scream at me saying it's all my fault that their book didn't sell because I gave it a 3-star instead of a 5-star on Amazon? Oh, yeah, it's my fault. Oh, yeah, I'll take the full blame. It's my fault. I'm an evil person.
No.
You can hate me and, you know, I'm...
You know, Jennifer,
I think they should be the bigger person and not respond. I mean, that's my opinion.
Keith, I'll tell one of Keith's stories, okay? Keith has a book that on Amazon got a 1-star review with the...
It wasn't me. I promise. It wasn't
me. No, it wasn't. And with the one line, this book sucks and I'm embarrassed to own it. Keith's response is, woohoo, I've got your money, okay? that is the correct author response. Woohoo, I've got your money. It's also a book that keeps on, it's in its 12th printing, and every 6 months he gets royalty checks for it. So you know what? That's one opinion, okay? Other people like the book, obviously, since it's in its 12th printing. But there is a 1-star review for this book on Amazon that says, this book sucks and I'm embarrassed to own it. You know? The best author response is, woohoo, I've got your money.
But then, you know, I hope that other readers...
Well, wait a second.
Readers,
sorry, go ahead. Slow down. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I hope that... Sorry, who are you talking to? Bonnie, who are you talking? Tell him to go ahead. Bonnie or Donna?
You, go ahead.
Okay, I was saying that I think if I can speak for other authors, I mean, to not just you as a reviewer, as a critic, or anybody who takes the time to read a book and takes the time to give a thoughtful critique, I don't care if it's bad or good, I appreciate your time. Thank you for doing that, because your opinion matters to me. I don't care who you are. If you are reading my book and you are giving me a thoughtful answer, thank you so much. Thank you.
Well,
because that means that you have spent time with me.
Can I have you around more often? I like hearing that. Thank you. Okay, Bonnie, you had something to say?
No, that was me. Sorry, that was funny.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anybody else?
Sorry.
Well, let me tell you two funny, cute stories. They're my stories. There was a movie called Blonde and Blonder with Denise Richards and Pamela Anderson. I watched it. It was worse than Dumber and Dumber. Not Dumber and Dumber 2. I haven't seen that yet. But it was worse than that. I said, Amazon only allows me to give something 1-star. You can take this DVD and use it as a frisbee or a coaster. don't burn the fireplaces. DVDs let a terrible smell. I wouldn't recommend this movie to anyone. And I told them why. And it's like, it's not that I don't like Miss Anderson. She, you know, but playing, and Denise Richards, but playing the dumb blondes don't work for me. And I got a nice letter from Denise Richards' people and saying, thank you for your honest review. That was so nice. But then I had a gentleman years ago, I think Ren remembers this story, years ago. I reviewed his audio, and I'm not going to say the title. I did. This is the guy that publishes weekly, but she knows the story. Number 18. Okay, this gentleman, I reviewed his thing. He said you didn't write a good review because you used the word myopic twice in the review. I said usually an audio is good. If I was myopic, which I'm not, I would give it a good review. But however, I am not myopic, so I would say, miss this one. And I said other things, of course. He took the whole review, printed it in Publishers Weekly with bigger letters saying, prove this critic wrong, and his address below. Okay.
Whoa.
And people bought the audio. You know, and I got emails and I got letters going, yeah, this guy is stupid. And I'm like, okay. Thank you very much for telling him stupid. I'm not stupid, but it's like, this guy is stupid to reprint it. I'm like, okay. You smile and you say, yeah, but still the target's on my back. There are people that I agree with them. It was very, you were wrong and you were mean or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not mean, even though I used to say I'm evil, double L, lewd and lascivious. So
I'm
sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said I never publicly respond to reviews like that, you know.
Yeah, you shouldn't, honestly. I've been told by many people you shouldn't respond to such things. I
admit being evil. You know, my horns support my halo, and my horns and tail support my halo. So yeah, it's just. And Ren knows, she's seen pictures of me with the horn.
As an editor, I have been torn people's work apart editing it, and had them be very angry with me at first. But I'll sit down and talk with them and explain. I'll explain verbosely why I have issues.
And I remember you went through one of my pieces. I remember you going through my piece. You were one of the toughest editors I ever had.
Well, I want it to be good. I want it to be as good as possible. You know,
exactly.
I want it to be as accessible as possible too.
I'm going to embarrass you, Dana. I remember I reviewed the French Quarter, which was an audio that Dana and her husband Joel did, which I loved. I truly did. And the guy said, "What the?" with an F word. The sound is terrible, and it's got all them background noises. And I'm like, did you understand it at all? Well, it got all them background noises.
Well, I mean, our thing with producing French Quarters was one of the first big projects that really incorporated on-location recording for audio theater versus going to a studio and pulling out the soundtrack that is Streetscape and the soundtrack of, you know, Taxi Honking and this sort of thing. We actually took our actors into the field with the equipment so that we had the ambient sounds, which was groundbreaking at that time. And the thing that I think you're touching on something really significant here, Joel and I were discussing this today, is that in the universe we are now far too entitled, and it's so simple to have an opinion about something from the mask of anonymity. You can stand there or sit there at your computer and type, I hate you, you're a horrible reviewer, you're awful, and there's no consequences. And the thing that kills me is that they're angry at you for having an opinion that differs from theirs, but they do not give you the right to have that opinion. I mean, I am a theatrical reviewer as well, and I did a review for a company here in town that is, for reasons that elude me, much beloved. And they've been around since the dawn of time, and they have not learned a lesson in that time, and their work is unwatchable. I mean, it's unwatchably bad. And I was sent to review one of their productions. I wrote a ridiculously generous but still honest review of this thing. And it was the first time pretty much in their history that this theater company had ever been told, you know, the truth. I wasn't cruel. I was accurate. And my hope in writing this review was simply to say, you guys need to take a look at this thing from the outside, and what you're calling good enough isn't even close to it. It was an embarrassing, embarrassing production. And that review earned me a hate letter from the presidents or the board members of the theater. They wrote a letter to my editor, and I paraphrased, but the gist of it was, you're a mean, stupid, poopy head. The gist of it.
Did they say poopy head in the letter?
That was paraphrasing, but that was essentially the gist of it. You're mean and you're stupid and you're a poopy head, and our work is brilliant and you're just stupid. Okay. But, you know, the end result
I've
is that
called,
my review...
The reason I asked that is because I've been called and somebody sent me an email and said, you're a poopy head. So I'm like, is that the word?
It might be people, but... You know, and I went over this review 3 or 4 times before I sent it in saying, am I being mean? No, I'm being honest. And the other reviewer in this town, who is mercifully now retired, felt that the job of a theatrical reviewer was simply to give you a synopsis of the play and then say how pretty everyone was. You know,
oh.
And so these theaters had this false sense of security, and then they send me in there, and I have actual theatrical experience. I'm a writer, I'm an actor, I'm a designer, I'm a producer, I'm, you know. So
that's
I can
why I said you were a Renaissance woman. I know, I love you, I know that.
So I can look at a play with an experienced and educated eye, I've given very good reviews to plays that bored me to tears, but I'm not there to review the script, I'm there to review the production. And if they pulled off whatever the script was and they did it with style and skill, then they're going to get a good review. But, yeah, it's odd in with the access that Joe Human has to other people. I think we've lost a great deal of civility and we've lost a great deal of respect for the opinions of others. I mean, you look at the comments on any news story on the internet and, you know, there was a video of a porcupine eating a pumpkin recently. Have you seen this? If not, Google
yes.
it instantly.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
The little
yes.
noises slay me. So you have this video of a little porcupine eating a pumpkin. It should be the least offensive, least controversial thing on the planet. And some person commented along the lines of, oh, isn't God great? Look at this fabulous creature he made that eats pumpkins so cutely, right? That shouldn't be something that inspires hatred. And yet, and it spun into this whole thing about attacking somebody's religious rights. And I was like, what?
Exactly.
Well, you know, God has nothing to do with. I mean, it was so far beyond the realm of point.
Think of this. There's a, I don't know if you have it in your area, Dana. Rob Lowe does a Rob Lowe and a super Rob Lowe or a shy Rob Lowe. He's like
awkward
Lowe, yeah. And Rob Lowe says, I don't know, is it going to be a girl or a boy? Oh, my God. You know, it's... And it's like somebody said, well, people that, you know, the awkward went down on DirecTV and said, you can't do that. Come on. I mean, you know, it's satire. I'm sorry. Gulliver's Travels today would be banned in Boston because it's a satire. You know, I'm sorry. You know,
have you watched
the new series of
American Horror Story?
Yes.
Has one of the creepiest characters ever created, Twisty the Clown.
Yes,
the horror show drew the ire of the professional, I'm assuming, Humorless Clowns of America, Inc. Mm. And they were furious that people would now think that clowns were homicidal killers. It's like, seriously?
Aren't they?
Don't you remember that movie back in like the 80s that had homicidal clowns?
They did not introduce the concept of the creepy clown. And, oh, please, just, yeah.
Okay, ladies, I love you all, and I would love this to go on forever. I really would. I want to make sure we get how they can reach you and how they can – you're not leaving yet, but I just want to make sure that we get this before Mrs. Blog Talk slaps me on the wrist. Let me start with the lovely, lovely Bonnie Paulson. How can they get a hold of you, Bonnie, and –
Oh, the easiest way to get a hold of me is to probably Facebook me at at facebook.com/VonPaulson. Are you noticing for me?
Not to be rude.
And I love
spell it, because I don't want to get emails next week saying, how do you spell Paulson? I get them.
Like son of, it's like son of Paul, P-A-U-L-S-O-N, Paulson. And then I'm also, you know, I have my own website. Please email me, BonnieRPaulson.com. But, yeah, I would love to hear from people. I'll answer questions, too. But I will be on again in December, I believe, December 13th. So I'll be on the other show of yours. So that'll be great. I'm excited for that.
Well, yes, I know you're going to be on. You're going to be on the half an hour and anything goes. Then it's just you and I. Then we're in trouble.
Ooh, that's
going to
be fun.
Ooh, I know. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, Dana's Joel's done the half hour. He knows, you know, Dana's husband. So since I already mentioned Joel, Dana, would you like to tell them how they can get a hold of you and send you emails and stalk you if they want?
Well, that sounds delightful, certainly. So I would first like to give a plug to my lovely husband, Joel Pearson, the author.
Please do.
Astonishing human being. You can find out about his books and order them at Joel Pearson, joelpierson.com. His Messenger series is astonishing. And, yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I'm also a professional editor. And so I know the pain that the other ladies were talking about. But it's far more important that folks know about Joel's work than how to contact me. You can reach me via Joel's website as well. But he's the author that people really need to be hearing about and reading about. His work is brilliant.
Yeah, but I love his work, and he's coming on my show soon. I don't know when. I think
yay.
It's March. But yay. And you might just pop in and say hi.
Absolutely. But, yeah, just if you are interested in really strongly formed, interesting, fascinating, new American this is the stuff. So go check out joelpearson.com. There'll be something very – and you can also download the – I believe we still have the PDF of the very first book you can get for free just to get a
taste
of
it. And where is that?
So,
okay, is that Amazon or where is that located?
That's on joelpearson.com. So.
Okay.
You can send me an email at dana@danapearson.com as well. So.
Okay.
But thank you for having me on. This was fun.
We're not done with you yet.
Have...
I'm just making sure everybody, we know how to get a hold of you. So that way, not me personally, other people, because they're like, how do I get a hold of that Dana woman? That's why I do it.
Stalker, yes.
Not my job. I'm just doing the radio show. I have the board, and that's all I have. Okay. I want to live. I mean, sheesh, I'm just a good guy. I got my halo on and everything. Well, you know, sheesh, okay. Marie, how did they get a hold of you?
Well, my website is marielavender.com, and that is spelled MarieLavender. And
I
should
also read the interview on your blog this week. It is so good. Can you give that to them so they know? Because I enjoyed it immensely.
Which one?
The young lady just interviewed, the one that was on you were promoting on Facebook the last few days.
Oh,
don't
okay.
ask me for miracles.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
If my name wasn't sewed in my BVDs, I wouldn't know it, okay?
they can find all of those on the Writing in the Modern Age blog is marielavender.blogspot.com. And then I'm also on Facebook, which is facebook.com/MarieAnnLavender. And then I'm also on Twitter at MarieLavender1.
Okay. Ren, my darling, let me ask you, are you doing any science fiction conventions in the next few months that they should know about?
The next one I think we're doing is actually today, right before I got online with you, I was actually at the 20th anniversary for the Star Trek ship, the Justice, which is in northern New Jersey. We actually were dinner with them tonight. But our next convention is actually Arisha in Boston in January.
Okay.
Then we have Far Point in February. We've got a lot of conventions. It's best to check Keith's website, which is now charmingly retro, as in that I've got to actually work on getting it upgraded in the next few months.
Okay, would you like to give that? Because I and also yes. promote him for 2 seconds. Since Dana promoted Joel, you can promote Keith.
So, www.decandido.net. It's Keith Ari DeCandido. That's my fiance, and he's also a professional editor, as am I. We edit together under his company, Cradical, and Cradatorial, basically. And we're doing that, as well as I do editing for a couple other small presses, as mentioned earlier in the show. That's about what's going on with us.
Okay, so, and how would they get a hold of you? Or
me?
They just...
I'm usually...
Yeah, you.
Caught,
yeah,
I'm
you,
caught,
you. If they want to
I'm
stalk you,
caught,
how do they get a hold of you?
Find me on Facebook. I'm Ren Sims. That's Ren with two N's. Wrennsimms on Facebook. It tends to be around in the background unless I'm editing something really, really involved and I shut it all off.
And she will answer her IMs, so, you know.
I answer my IMs. If I'm on, I'll answer my IMs. If it's just, you know, computer's on and I'm not in the apartment or I'm across the room, I won't. But it's, you know, that's what's going on around here. But I'm also caught, can be found through Keith. We do a lot of things together.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And if you ever look on her Facebook page, you'll see her doing, she's singing with such and such a celebrity and such and such. She's a talented lady, but I, you know, she doesn't even include.
I don't brag too much. Keith does.
Yeah, I know, but you're always there with a lot of wonderful, talented people. Next week, people, let me get to my next week because these people are going to go crazy. Next week, we will have 35 authors. Maybe if Keith comes, it'll be 36, and if Joel comes, it'll be 37. We'll be good. In 2 hours. Yes, this is my holiday third annual Cyber Monday show. Everybody's coming. We have Christine Nolfi. We have Leanne Sotheheim-Murphy. We have Lindsay Downs. We have most of your independents, Cassandra Dane, Michelle Prince. I'm just, you know, I'm not going to rattle off everybody's name. Bonnie Paulson is coming. I mean, we got every... Yeah, Bonnie's coming. You see? Bonnie's... Okay. everybody, you know, depends on your genre. They will be there. Brooklyn Ann is coming. That'll be great. She writes a mean book, and I'll say that in front of her and behind her back. And
her.
Barbara Watkins. Oh, if you don't have Hollow Screams, you should. one day I'll tell the story about Hollow Screams, but that's beside the point. all kidding aside, we'll have 35 independent authors in 2 hours. It will be a busy, busy, busy show. You can pick your holiday books that you want to get with from your authors. And if somebody says, why am I doing it early? I said, who's going to work on Thanksgiving week? Not me. I'm taking off for Thanksgiving, most of Thanksgiving week. And I will be back on the 28th, which is Black Friday, with Elizabeth Black. So that'll be lovely. All kidding aside, since this is the last show in November, I wish you all a very, very healthy, happy Hanukkah. I wish you a very, very healthy, happy Thanksgiving. Be well to each other. It's one of the, I could say I'm getting maudlin, I know. I know I'm getting maudlin. Excuse me, I'm getting very maudlin about this. You guys, I thank my guests for the evening. Immensely. I think a lot of the other guests have done shows for the World of Ink on this show and other shows with me. But there's a lot to be thankful for. And the most prevalent person I think is you, the people that are listening to me and keeping interest in what we do. And so, ladies, any final words?
Thank you.
That was a pleasure.
So, Danny, you going to plug Joel again, just in case?
Why not? JoelPearson.com, the Messenger series, is fabulous, and it deserves a much larger audience than it has. I think any writer's work deserves a much wider audience than it has. So if the fine people on the show are looking for something great, they should go look that up. So there we are.
Okay. Ren, you want to plug your fiance's books as well. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance. I'm getting to Bonnie next, but that's okay.
I already did. It's okay. I love to do it again. Hey, he just wrote a movie novelization that I can't even talk about because we don't have permission yet.
You're wetting my whistle. Sheesh. I got to know when so I can book him on a show.
We should know within the next 2 days whether we can announce it. That's all.
Okay. Well. But, yeah. Remember, personal IM me and tell me, don't say anything. I'm good.
Yeah.
Bonnie, tell them about your book, Bonnie, so that way before Mrs. Block Duck slaps me on the wrist.
I have a Psycho Inside Me is a book about a 13-year-old vigilante, and every year she kills another pedophile or someone that deserves it. So check it out. And I don't have a husband to plug. I mean, I have a husband, but I'm not going to plug him because he's not a writer. So
okay.
Thank you.
It's all my fault. Okay. But what your book's name, I wanted to make sure I got that and where they can get a hold of it.
It's Psycho Inside Me, and you can find it anywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, you name it, I've got it out there. So
I got to talk to you after the show anyway, but that's besides the point. Let your husband get jealous. You have 5 minutes with me after the show. Because I need to ask you a question or two, but that's beside the point, okay? Marie, tell them about your romance books and everything else. We didn't touch on that. I want to make sure they know.
Okay. I have 19 books total. The most recent release is Upon Your Honor, which is a historical romance set in the Victorian era. And there's a lot of suspense in it as well.
And where can they get these lovely books?
You can find them all on Amazon, also Solstice Publishing, and my self-published books are on Lulu.
Okay. Thank you, ladies, for a lovely evening.
Thank you.
I'd sing. I'm so glad we had this time together, but I'm not Carol Burnett. I love E.T. I love the rest of you. I'm grateful for everything and everybody. Good night, and everybody have a good Thanksgiving. I will see you guys on the 22nd on the Cyber Monday show. That is Saturday the 22nd from 9 to 11 on the World of Ink Network. Good night, and have a good time.
Good night.
All right.